others which have no hope. These people that are heathen and have no hope are the ones that are sorrowful. Oh, I know we're selfish and we miss them, but rejoice for them as well. Why? Remember, Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant about this. 14. The Greek is very specific. You can't stick anything into it. It has the subject and the object. The subject is where are the dead. The object, in a sense, is how you should feel about this and how you should address yourself. 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, if we believe that Jesus died on the cross and came out of that tomb, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Do you understand? God will bring them with him. Do you know why? Where is Jesus? He's at the right hand of God, and everybody else that dies goes there also to paradise. They are there, therefore God will bring them with him. Christ will bring many of them in an army. Paul, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the apostles, sometimes your parents, those Christian soldiers. You cannot prevent them, for they are already there. Verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Now we're doing what? We're telling you where the dead are by the word of the Lord. Not by some man's mouth, but by the word of the Lord. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, that is to say, those at that seventh trump when the Lord returns, raises the two witnesses, then. Don't let anybody sell you any other bit of goods, because it's not written. All right? At the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. You know why you can't prevent them? You that live now, you cannot prevent those that are already dead. Why? Because they're already there. It's that simple. 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Which trump? The last trump. The seventh trump. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Why? They're already there. All right. They're already there. All shall change at that seventh trump. Every last being. Instantly. 17. Then, we which are alive and remain, when? At the seventh trump. Don't forget it. Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Paul speaks colloquial Greek. He uses this term clouds again in Hebrews chapter 12 to run a foot race. Do clouds run foot races? No, he meant it's a figure of speech only, and it means in a large body. We're all going together in a large body to meet the Lord in the air. This word air is not sky, friend, and don't ever let anyone pass you off a bill of goods. Do you know what it is? It's the breath of life, the soul, the new body that everybody is changed into instantly. Do you understand that? I don't want you to read over it. It does not mean meet him in the sky. We're going to meet. He's coming here. We're going to meet him in the new spiritual body, the breath of life, the breath that he breathed into the flesh returns to the Father that gave it. His children, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, never again to leave him. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, they took this and kind of made a halfway rapture theory out of it. And Paul wrote a second letter to these Thessalonians in chapter 2 of the next book, 2 Thessalonians. And he said, don't let my first letter deceive you that we're not going together back to Christ until after Antichrist stands in Jerusalem, claiming to be Christ, claiming to be God, even from the temple of God. We've got work to do, friend. Don't let some windbag who mimics Margaret MacDonald. This is why you should, every one of you Christians, should have the book, The Incredible Cover-Up, to read the history of when that rapture theory actually got started. The same woman that started the speaking in tongues started it. And she, at her own word, stated, at first it was very evil. I tell you it's evil, too, because it's the deception of the end times. It is the mark of the beast, because it's going to lead people They don't have the truth in their mind. They've got the lies of Satan in their mind. And the lies of Satan is the rapture, because he knows you'll worship him rather than the true Christ. You better think, friend. It's pretty deep and it's pretty tough. But it's simple. All you have to do is understand the seventh trump. Praise God for his word. Do you realize, I'm going to teach on just, is this all New Testament? Oh, no, friends. It's written in the Old Testament as well, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 13. God said in verse 16 of that, to wit, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace for her. In other words, you're going to fly away. Don't worry. And there is no peace, saith the Lord God. Antichrist is coming. Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people. You set your face against those women that are supposed to be my wife, which prophesy out of their own heart, not my word, but their own church theology. And prophesy thou against them, not for them, against them. And say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes, and make kerchiefs upon the head of every statue, every high place, to hunt souls. Won't you come to our high cathedral? We'll save your soul here. Will you hunt the souls of my people, and will you save the souls alive that come unto you? Do you have that power? He's saying. What he's saying here, so you understand in the Hebrew, he said, I have my saving arms out, but you sew these pillows to put over my saving arms so you can deceive the people. They don't see my outstretched arms. 19. And will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread? You teach for hire to slay the souls that should not die, those that teach the truth, you curse them. And to save the souls alive that should not live. You take that bunch that don't want to study God's word and will listen to your lies and assure them they are saved. By your lying to my people that hear your lies. And they love it. Don't worry. They love it. They love to hear those lies. 20. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your pillows, that malarkey you put together and call it theology to hide my saving truth. Wherewith ye then, you there, hunt the souls to make them fly. I want you to underline that. Have you ever heard of the rapture theory? Be saved and fly away. God's going to jerk their souls back out of your filthy hands. The souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms, and will let the souls go, even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly. God hates it. Why do you continue in it? Why do you believe it? It's not a part of God's plan. It's a part of Satan's plan. Do you understand now why the majority will be deceived in the end times? They've been lied to. Innocently enough, but innocently doesn't make any difference except it is a cloak of innocency. We'll teach you in the millennium. God's not going to fry you like a piece of bacon because of not having a chance in this earth age because of the power structure that Satan has in theology and in the church system of these end times. People are either trying to make a name for themselves in popularity or trying to save souls to make them fly. You don't have to know God's word, just believe and fly. That's not God's word. That's Satan's teachings. There's a great deal more. There would be a famine in the end times for hearing of God's word. I praise God that we have the privilege and the opportunity to teach that word. Or it doesn't make us popular. But I don't care. I just want to teach God's truth. Because it is a mission. A mission in the end times where God is calling out a people that have the courage to stand. For there is no danger when you have the true wall around you. Oh, how he loves and blesses those that will stand against this fake system. Let him bless you. Study his word. those of you that have ears to hear. I've enjoyed this visit, and I want to share something with you. Listen a moment, won't you please?
Yes, I'd like to share something with you. Are you thinking about a gift? A gift for someone you love? What better gift than God's Word? A leather-bound companion Bible. Not just a King James alone, but a King James that has with it a dual column. A dual column giving you, verse by verse, in most cases, the idioms, the figures of speech, sometimes even explaining the meaning of the English word in the Hebrew or the Greek, whichever the case might be. But here we have Genesis chapter 1, and you see the detail given into, as an example, verse 2, Tuhu va buhu, that word that means the earth was not created void, but that it became void and without form. It's so important that you have tools to study God's Word whereby you can better understand what your Father would have you know about this letter that He personally wrote to you. This letter that, as an example, if someone of your loved ones wrote you a letter personally, and you took that letter and laid it on a shelf and never read it, it would hurt your feelings, right? You see, your Father knows whether you read or study that letter. So give someone that roadmap. Help them to look deeper into God's Word. Help them to have a better understanding of who their Father is, what His name is. This work even helps you in that. It has 198 appendix in the back, giving you 198 in-depth studies. Things that many people don't even teach, but giving you an opportunity to study them yourself, research them, grow and mature in your Father's Word, giving you a closer walk with Him, allowing you to be a strength to those you communicate with. Stay in His Word every day, and it's a beautiful day. Jesus is a living Word.
Okay, bless your hearts. Let's open up those 800 numbers at this time. 1-800-643-4645. And in this great state of Arkansas, 787-555-6. If you have a question or a comment, hey, share it with us. If the Spirit moves upon you, let it be passed up to the pastor, okay? We'll get right into these prayer requests. James and Barbara, pray for me. Has some spine problems. And she had requested a prayer for one, and that, praise God, the cancer is no more there. Also pray for her husband. All right. This was called in by his sister, Jerry, from Kentucky, to pray for him. And pray for his sister and brother-in-law. Father, you hear the cries of the children. Father, we ask in love that you touch and heal in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Father's good to us. Okay, this is Arlene from California. I'll tell you, the reason we can't take the crews on their nights off, our crews, some of them drive 50, 60, some of them nearly 100 miles, and on their, I won't let them work of hopefully over two nights a week because they have to spend time with their family, and to come in another night, we're gonna work on it. Maybe if I can't get the parents, I'll get the children. I'll at least introduce those to you, hopefully. Okay, please don't get upset with the next question. I won't. I have to ask it. My mother told me, because my son, Mark, was so good to me and others, that maybe I loved him too much, that God took him because I didn't study or read the Bible. No. No. Would God take my son for this reason? No, I think it's wonderful now that you do, and I'm sure your son does, and I'm sure he's very proud of you. But but our Father, He blesses some people, special people. There are some people that are just almost too good for this world age. And why shouldn't He bring them home? And I'm saying, let He be the judge, and let He be the one that does it. But why should they have to go through this when you can tell by knowing them they're special people? Okay, Margie from Louisiana. A further comment on the blood and water that came out of Christ's side when He was killed, pierced. You were teaching in the book of Luke, and Luke called attention to the fact that the blood and water came out of Jesus' side. I remember hearing a long time ago that medically when a lung was punctured or pierced, that water and blood comes out. is proof that it is proof of death. Since Luke was a doctor, do you think this is why he called attention to this? Yes. Excuse me. Luke uses many medical terms in his manuscripts, and that's why you can recognize his writing so readily, and it makes it so clear and so easy to understand. That's good observation, Margie. Okay, from Louisiana. Did I say Los Angeles? I meant Louisiana, okay? Okay, no name. You said in your teaching that there is Satan's seed, and if you are born of Satan, you are just doomed to die and go to hell. But yet you say when a child is born and then dies, he goes right to the presence of God. I would like for you to clear that up, please. Okay, no name. First of all, you have never heard me say that the serpent's seed is doomed and going to hell. Never have you heard me say that. You have heard me say, and probably this is what confused you, that the Nephilim, the fallen angels that left their first habitation and refused to be born to woman, are doomed. We read it tonight. 7,000 of them died that quick. I mean, that is fini for them. But you have never heard me say any other than Satan himself is condemned to die. Why? It's God's place to judge them. Many tares, that is to say the sons of Cain, will accept Christ. I believe that. I really believe it with all my heart. Then all tares are burned? Yep, they sure are. But once they accept Christ, they're no longer a tare. That's to say a son of God, of Satan. They become a child of God. So, no, you didn't hear me say that. And it's true that even Satan himself is in paradise. Have you ever read Hebrews chapter 12, where Satan is in heaven? Have you never read the book of Job chapter 1 and 2, where Satan appeared with the sons of God or the angels? Anybody that's dead is there. Doesn't mean they've overcome. It simply means they're waiting for the trial date, which is that great judgment. Okay, I realize that sometimes in teaching that it's difficult for... Please keep listening. But everyone has an opportunity to be saved except Satan and those Nephilim. But listen close to what is said. Helen from West Virginia. How long was Cain's lifespan? It's not written. Some in History of Sargon give a little bit of a report, but it just isn't written in God's Word. Therefore, I would not quote out aside from it. Also, Bible documentation where Antichrist will come back on a cloud like Christ. Okay. It's common sense. Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. It states there that this lamb, in other words, it looks like Christ, got two horns, even looks like the lamb slain, if you would, which means he might even have the scar marks in his hands. Appears, but he has the voice of the dragon, which means what? It's Satan. And he performs miracles that he snaps his fingers and lightning come from heaven or fire. That he deceives the world because they're going to think it's Jesus. He's the imposter of imposters. It only stands to reason he's going to come as it is written that Christ shall, so that people will think he is. Now, after tonight's little talk and God's documentation from his scriptures, how can you tell? It's real simple. When do we leave these flesh bodies? At the last trump. The true Christ returns when you're in the new body. As long as you're in this old chunk of meat, friend, Christ hadn't returned. Whoever says he is a fake. That's why Jesus warned. If they tell you he's here or he's there, don't believe it. As long as you can pinch yourself and it hurts, it hasn't happened. He's a fake. Okay, Pat from New Mexico. If there's no sex in heaven and no women there, how did Satan and the fallen angels become sexually active to impregnate Eve and the earth woman? Well, it's really quite simple. There were no women there. Okay? Never will you hear it written, the daughters of God in the world that was. It's always the sons of God. Adam was made in the image, not Eve. Adam was a male. They were males when woman was created. That was a new thing. And being satanic as they were, they thought she was a play pretty, not a womb that would birth each angel soul through this earth age one time. That's how. Kenneth from Kentucky. Where does the scripture say that Methuselah would live until the flood? It doesn't. I'm just sure it doesn't, okay? In other words, at his death, the flood would come. And that is what I needed to know. Methuselah was Enoch's son. Okay. I think perhaps what you might be confusing in your mind here is the fact that in the day that Adam sinned, man would die in the day that he sinned, and one day is as 1,000 years to God, and no man would ever live over 1,000 years. I think that's perhaps what you're thinking, Kenneth. I don't know. Let me know if I've missed something there, would you please? Okay, Ronnie from Tennessee. What makes people go Bible crazy? Well, that's a legitimate question. We have some people, of course, there are people that are schizophrenic that begin to hear voices. Unfortunately, it's usually not God. It's something else. And I'm not judging everyone that is ill. But sometimes it is a demonic. That is bad. But we also have some people that have such an appetite for the word that they will put their whole family under bondage because that's the only audience they have. And they will preach and preach and preach. And you know what you'll do if you do that? You will ultimately drive your children, very possibly, away from God altogether. You will drown them. Common sense and priorities must always be. You make sure that you don't over-preach. Though you have an appetite, I happen to have an appetite that I like to study, but I would not force that upon any of you. I enjoy teaching. You can listen as long as you like, but I would never force my teaching upon anyone. So you people must do the same. It's called a religious fanatic, and you can become that very easy. And besides, you defeat your purpose. You defeat your purpose in your anxieties of wanting to do good. You end up ultimately doing bad. You must only teach to your family, to your children, that they can hear. When you go past that, like, I will never allow anyone to teach over 1 hour in this chapel without giving the people a break, because it's they can't retain it, and it's hard on them. Well, what if the Spirit insists otherwise? The Spirit's not stupid. Man just gets carried away with his own self sometimes, methinks. But always be thoughtful of your family. I received a letter from a 12-year-old this past week. It puts me in kind of a hard spot because I wouldn't want to get her in trouble. And she complained that this problem existed. I just want that one to know I've turned it over to the Lord, and I know things will be better. Write me again. Won't you do that? Margie from Louisiana. Subject. Not marrying again when your husband leaves you. She had listened to the discussion, and when I had said, the only unforgivable sin is to deny the Holy Spirit an opportunity to speak through you when you're one of God's elect, that Christ has the power to forgive one when they make a mistake. I don't care if it's adultery, whereby that they remarry. It is better that they marry than burn. And she was saying that she would testify to that. She had been in the witnesses, and of course that's being another faith, but at least it got her out of that, and she says, praise God. Doral from Florida. What is your plan of salvation? Doral, I don't have one. I teach one, but it's my Lord's. My Lord has a plan of salvation, but it is not up to man to try to save people. Only Christ can do that, and only He has the true plan of salvation. It's John 3:16. Believe, and you'll not perish. That says it all. Gary from Alabama, he would like to know what chapter and verse in the Old Testament that Pastor Murray was reading at the end of his talk tonight. Ezekiel chapter 13, in the latter part of the chapter, okay? Ezekiel 13. Don from Texas, we appreciate tonight's program and your boldness in teaching it. Thank you, Don, and bless you all there in your boldness in teaching. Carol from Tennessee, when the two witnesses ascend up, why would they ascend up if Christ is coming to earth? To a higher level. Anytime we change into that spiritual body, it is to a higher level. Not sky, but toward perfection. Okay. Resurrection has three meanings. Look it up in your Strong's Concordance. Just to stand up for Christ and moving to a higher level of thinking elevates you. Hey, we're out of time. I've enjoyed this evening. Don't forget the next lecture, Ecclesiastes, How to Live Happy in the Flesh. We're going to be leaving some of these stations for others. We'll be right back. You stay tuned. We are brought to you by your own tithes and offerings. If we've taught you, bless God, and let Him bless you. He blesses those that support the strong truth of His Word as it is taught, not playing church, so He doesn't play blessings. He lays it upon you. Stay in His Word every day, and it's a beautiful day. You know why? Jesus is the living Word.
Thank you for joining with us in today's study of God's Word. If you would like to hear today's message again on audio cassette, or if you would like to know some of the other deeper in-depth studies that Pastor Murray has covered, write for the free tape catalog. Write Shepherd's Chapel, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. That's Shepherd's Chapel, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. And don't forget to mention tape catalog. Shepherd's Chapel also has a monthly newsletter letting you know what's happening at the chapel. So if you would like to receive this monthly newsletter, write to Shepherd's Chapel, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Thank you for joining us. And join us again each Monday through Friday at this same time for Shepherd's Chapel.